This is Flip the Library, the Gwinnett County Public Library podcast. I'm Steve Thomas, the branch manager at our Collins Hill branch, and we are here today to talk about the Georgia Libraries Conference, formerly known as Georgia COMO / GLA / whatever it was called before. We have some staff here who presented at the conference and attended some sessions as well, so we're going to go through and hear about some sessions that they presented first, and then we'll talk about what else they got out of the conference. So I'm going to first pass it off to our first group here, and if you guys want to introduce yourselves.
I'm Atlas Logan. I'm the branch manager at the Hamilton Mill Branch Library.
And I'm Lee Skowronski. I'm the branch manager of the Centerville Branch Library.
And I'm Yulia Khadjeva. I'm a supervisory librarian at the Lilburn Branch.
The title of our program was Flipped Classrooms, Turning Traditional Library Programs Upside Down.
All of us have experience doing flipped classrooms. We've all done at least one at our branches. Hamilton Mill did one on language learning, and we also did another on basic computer literacy through Treehouse. And then Lee did one on
My branch's flipped classroom was on learning how to use flatbed scanners to scan your personal photos, and that evolved into developing a brand new local history group for my community.
At Lilburn, the flipped classroom was about preparing the students for the citizenship test. And it was very interesting. We went over all the questions from the civic and historical part of the interview, and all the feedback that we got was very positive.
Basically, for those who don't know, a flipped classroom is instead of students coming to the class and learning and then going and doing homework assignments on their own and kind of struggling through them, there's pre-recorded lessons that they can view ahead of time, and then they actually come to class and do more hands-on collaborative work together so that no one's getting hung up or tied up with any questions or experiencing, I'm sure, that familiar feeling of it makes sense when you hear it, but then when you try to do it on your own, you're like, oh, wait, I'm completely lost. So it kind of flips it on its head and makes things a little bit more interactive and collaborative and hopefully negates some of the issues with traditional learning.
And this model of learning is not brand new. A lot of the educational settings have been using it, schools, universities, and whatnot. And one of the things that you need, obviously, is you need the opportunity or the ability to provide your content to your students ahead of time. And so you need to have some kind of either pre-registration or the first meeting of a multi-session class would be where you provide the content for what they need for the next session. But there needs to be some way to provide that content ahead of time.
And the difference from the traditional classroom is that the students come prepared. They come with the knowledge already acquired to class. And in class, we collaborate, they work together as teams, and the instructor has the opportunity to deepen their knowledge into the subjects and fill all the gaps, if there are any gaps.
And that content that you draw from can be pre-existing content that you're using, a YouTube video or access to online content that you already have. In Jessica's case, with Mango Languages, you want to talk about how you contacted Mango to?
Oh, sure. One of the issues that we found when we first started planning out our lessons and curriculum for Mango is that there's not really an overview available of what was covered in the course. So it made it really difficult to kind of project what we were going to cover versus Treehouse, where it has very clear, like, this section covers X, Y, and Z, and then this next lesson covers these things. And so the way that we dealt with that is Arlene, who was running that program for us, said, hey, why don't we just email Mango and tell them what we're doing and see if they have any kind of master overview of what the lessons encompass. And they were actually really excited about the idea and intrigued with what we were doing and sent everything we needed and more, basically like a full transcript of all their lessons that we were going to use. And their turnaround time was fantastic. I want to say it was within a day or two. So And of course, ask and you shall receive.
And of course, you do have the option also to record yourself giving a traditional lecture that you would do in a traditional classroom. You would just record it ahead of time and send the link to the video to your students for them to view ahead of time.
With the citizenship preparation, there are available materials on the United States Immigration Services website, developed classes, so that's what we used mainly for preparation. We also use YouTube videos, the databases of the libraries, and incorporated different resources for the benefit of the students and better understanding. We also had the opportunity to have a presentation from the United States Immigration Services. A representative came to the library, and the students were able to ask personal questions and get consulted on their personal cases. So that was another benefit of the program that we had.
And what kind of reception did you guys get for your presentation? Did you get a lot of questions at the end?
We did.
Yeah,
we had a lot of questions,
surprised.
And we had a lot of people who hung around after we were done with the presentation to ask even more questions and to exchange contact information. And there was a lot of interest in what we were doing.
Yeah. It made me feel really good. I mean, GLA was nice because instead of like a captive audience, you knew that everyone who had come to your session had actually had several options during that same time slot, and they chose yours. And so it was nice to see that we had a fairly good crowd. And then afterwards, the fact that they hung out and asked more questions and were really intrigued, I mean, that was the moment where I felt really good. Like, okay, they got it, and they're excited, and they can see the value in this and how we enjoyed it.
So. And we had an early time slot.
We did. It was like 8 a.m.
on the last day of the conference. So we weren't sure if we were going to have anyone show up, but we did. The room was almost full.
Yes, we had a good audience.
And I really liked at GLA, it was nice because the room was smaller, and so we were all able to talk loud enough that we didn't have to use a microphone, which made the presentation a lot more fluid, which is a style that works better for me because, you know, if I'm left to present alone, I'm like, am I rambling? And if I'm asking myself, usually, yeah, I'm rambling. But, you know, when it was the three of us and we could play off of each other and have that dynamic and not have to worry about, like, juggling who was going to be in front of the podium, I just felt like it made it a lot more relaxed and dynamic, and the enthusiasm really came through.
It was also important, I think, because there were three of us who had used this and had each of our cases of how we used it was very different. So I think what that gave to the audience was a chance to see there's multiple ways you can implement this, and I think it really was very intriguing to them. I will add that we don't just use this in programs for the public. We've also used it in-house in our training department. And we've recently had some training where we were provided all of the content ahead of time. And then when we came and met in small groups, we used our session times, our training time, to actually discuss everything and our reaction to what we'd learned and share ideas. And it was much more creative and ability to really see what you could do with that learning. And so I think that was real valuable for staff.
I'm Casey Wallace. I am the training manager here at Gwinnett County Public Library. So I'm responsible for trainings. The training that Lee had mentioned was leading managers from the various branch locations through a 4-week online course that I had access to about customers who may face mental health challenges in the library and how to meet those customers and serve them the best. So I think walking through the material together after people had the opportunity to preview it and connect the theory or the readings with practice, practical application. How can we digest the material and make it applicable to everyday life at the branches? And we did discover some areas where we could grow. I think we looked at different directions that training could go in order to keep the subject alive and relevant throughout the year. So you'll see more of that as we go along. But I think that's something where because the material was related to a variety of situations. It was meant to be thoughtful and reflective. I think that, to me, was a really good use of a flipped classroom model, where the students are learning from each other. Even I had different groups meeting and discussing, and each tone of the group was different. And to sort of snowball that throughout the week, as the different groups met up, you could actually compare and contrast the conversations. You know, this is interesting because the previous group mentioned this, that, or the other. You're mentioning the opposite, and just you're able to bring in those elements and have a more robust conversation than throwing the material cold at somebody and expecting a response immediately.
Yeah, and I wanted to bring Casey in on that because that kind of shows that we live what we're kind of presenting about, that it's not just something that we kind of come up with an idea and go present it and then come back and don't ever do it again, but we are incorporating all this stuff into our own work as well.
Hi there, I'm Meg Reeves. I'm the assistant branch manager at the Grayson Library, and Jody Capello, who is the assistant branch manager at Decula, the two of us presented also. We presented transitioning staff to a new customer service model. As you know, the library went through a major service model change in 2016, and so we just kind of wanted to document that and present it. The three major objectives we discovered for changing our service model was rebranding. Does our image truly reflect the services that we are providing? Updated technologies. Are we using today's technologies to the fullest? And improved customer service. Are our customers getting the services they're seeking? So, following that outline, we talked about technology and customer service changes, how we upgraded our online access by implementing a more mobile-friendly, web-based ILS system, our Polaris Leap, by adding our kiosk that made us more mobile on the floor and therefore able to take away our huge desks that kind of became a barrier between us and the customers, and providing the kiosk made it more open for all of us. At that point, we could go to our customers and provide service. We also delved into the training, how there was a transition training team put together to help staff move towards this new service model, what to expect, try to make it a little more comfortable for them, kind of get rid of the fear of the unknown. We did training at the branches, and then our training department also provided training, some LEAP training courses, short videos, and slideshows to help prepare the staff. So in May of 2016, we made the big transition. And since then, we've kind of looked at the outcomes of the big transition and some of the progress that we've made, reaching out to our customers more, and then moving forward, how we've capitalized on that and brought in our tower garden, our new learning labs, our partnering with NASA at my library.
Yeah, and that transition training team, I think, was a key part of that, because that is obviously a big, huge change, and that helped staff get accommodated to it better. So I think that was a really important part of the change.
We also talked, too, about some of the management training that was brought in. Pat Wagner was brought in, and Gail Ely was brought in for management training. And so that helped the... That helped a lot of the management and senior leadership, and then that trickled down to our transition training team, to our staff. We also spoke about how our executive director, Charles Pace, and director of customer service, Michael Casey, had several hangouts and allowed staff to have insight into what an administration was doing to support the coming changes and to present a transparent side to all the changes coming.
What other sessions did you attend that you'd like to?
I did attend a session on providing a travel program in your library, and it was a lady from Indianapolis, And she was very detailed in how she prepares for her travel programs. She travels a lot herself. She used a lot of her own pictures. She does in-depth research on it. She reaches out to different organizations that will provide travel pamphlets, travel information. She actually had a program form like we use now, that we're starting to use now, on the description of the program, the materials needed, the dates, the times, who's presenting. So it was very interesting, and I think that's something that maybe we could incorporate down the road as a program for our customers on travel.
I had the opportunity to attend a program about social media for libraries presented by Roy Cummings, who is the digital communications manager for the Georgia Public Library Services. He discussed the presence of libraries on social media and gave us some tips how to organize it to be more efficient. For example, that long introductions for a post are not necessary because people will not read it. His advice was to go straight to the point, and that's how you attract people's attention. And then somebody asked the question, can you give us an example about a library that's doing that? And he said, yes, Gwinnett County Public Library. So that was a compliment for us.
I think one thing that I remember wasn't a session so much as it was the poster session. Mm-hmm. We got there just in time for that and got to see some old friends. But one of the things that was really interesting, we stopped and chatted with Chris Baker, who of course used to work mm-hmm. for us and is now working for a company called Intellum. And his company has a new product called the Public Catalog, which he was telling us about. And the whole time he was chatting with us and telling us about how this new public catalog works and what they're trying to do with it, my mind just kept going to, that's flipped classroom. That's flipped classroom. That would be so ideal to use for flipped classroom, because they're putting content available to anyone online. So you could go in and you could create a learning track with them and provide that to your students ahead of time, and there's your flipped classroom. So that to me was an exciting thing, and we even commented on that in our session. So I thought it was great to reconnect with Chris, but also to find out there was something that was very closely tied in with what we were already interested in providing.
Yeah. And that was a free product, wasn't it?
Yes, it free. Is free. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you mentioned the poster sessions, because that was one of the things I wanted to make sure we mentioned. We did get there just in time. Like, we got checked in and we like ran over there, and you know, I've been to a lot of vendor halls and poster sessions at bigger conferences, but there was just something special about our little Georgia one, where I felt like every time I turned around, even though only in Georgia have I worked with Gwinnett County, it's like I was constantly bumping into someone I knew who used to work for the system and that sort of thing. So it was fun to see what they were up to and what their libraries were doing, and mm-hmm. to chat with Chris about Intellum and, you know, see the ways that we could adapt that mm-hmm. for, you know, yeah. our purposes. So that was a lot of fun. And then we made it to one other session, I believe, between mm-hmm. Preparing for our own presentation, which sucked up most of my mental energy, I think, because I was so nervous about it. But Lee and I both went to the Architecture of Outreach, which was presented by Amanda Densmore. And she was with Cobb County when she
was, yeah.
did the program, but she had moved. Was it Fulton she was at then?
I think so.
I don't
so.
Remember.
But she had moved.
She had just recently
yeah.
moved, but it was basically talking about novel community partnerships. So one example that she really focused on was last year's summer reading thing of Build a Better World. They found a local program that taught school-age children about local architecture, and so they were able to bring in architects to actually work with the kids and talk to the kids, and then they recreated various different Georgia landmarks. And the one I remember the most that stuck out in my head is someone recreated the Big Chicken that was in Marietta, and that's like the one thing that sticks out in my head.
But. And they recreated it out of recycled materials.
Yeah, recycled materials.
Your paper towel tubes and your plastic containers and whatever. They had been collecting those for a while and just put them all out there and let the participants have at it. And,
I liked that. It reminded me of one of the STEM academies we'd done at Hamilton Mill where we had like a city planner come in and talk about engineering and that sort of thing. And then the kids built their and designed and built their own city out of Legos. But I really liked that they used the recycled materials component of it too. The kind of
and what fascinated me was that we've got a push now for all of us to develop new partnerships. And I'm always excited to hear of something that I hadn't thought of before. It's like, oh, that would make a great partnership. And that's what excited me about this was, oh, I hadn't thought about contacting architects. And
contacted architects, but that the architects were so excited to work with them, too. Because I feel like sometimes you reach out and you're, you know, feel a little unsure or timid, and I don't know if they're going to want to do this. But it's always nice to hear when people are, you know, of course, it's the library. I'd love to. And so it's like, yeah.
And
makes you feel good.
Those kind of partnerships are great because you're opening something new to them as well, and it's and something beautiful happens between that. So we've got one that the Mountain Park branch recently did a partnership with Habitat for Humanity where they did something similar where they used Legos, but it was, I think they called it Play with Purpose, and the Habitat for Humanity people came out and talked about building houses and the important things that you need to incorporate into that, but they did it with Legos, and we're going to replicate that program at my branch as well. But again, as the Habitat for Humanity people were thrilled. They had never thought about doing something like that with kids. They'd always worked with adults before, so they were excited to have that opportunity for that new outreach partnership.
Hi, I'm Mac Freeman, and I am the branch manager of the Peachtree Corners branch. There was a session on Thursday afternoon called Design to Serve, Designing Physical Space to Deliver Superior Service, and it was presented by Jennifer Lotzenheiser and Katie Tierney, and they're with the Middle Georgia Regional System, which is out of Macon, and Jennifer's actually the director down there. But basically what they did, they had received some sort of fellowship or grant to tour the service model and the architecture of the Dock One Library. That's D-O-K-K if you want to look for it. And it's in Denmark. It's in Our House, Denmark. And basically it was all about this crazy architectural library where it's like, you know, there are every space is completely transformable. Every kind of open air in the entire building can be transformed into a meeting space or a public space. You know, it's open 24 hours a day, you know, and they kind of and so they just kind of monitor how everything's going, and they kind of identified, you know, about a dozen or so different things that people use the library for. And so they make sure that there are spaces inside the building at all times for quiet contemplation, group work, programming activities, reading, noise, you know, interaction. And but it's also mostly unmanned. There are people who rove, but they don't have a desk either. They have, you know, kiosks and that sort of thing. They have a slightly different expectation of privacy in Denmark, and so they actually they can see where you are in the building based on where your like library card is. So they can kind of like track you, and then there's like a big map, and if you want to find where somebody is, you can like find them on the map to go get to them. It's a little different than how we approach privacy in the States, but it was a very interesting idea for service. And then when they got back, they actually recently renovated the Washington Library, which is one of their smaller branch libraries in Middle Georgia, and they had tried to use some of these concepts to identify where they could identify spaces for these unique activities that go on inside of libraries. And so that was pretty interesting. And so they really brought practical things, and they passed out graph paper, and we had to like design our own library and how we would incorporate some of this sort of stuff, or how we'd redo the space that we had, because, you know, oftentimes you can't just go in and redesign your library from scratch. You know, you've got to wait for the money. You've got to make do with what you've got. So one of the things we're talking about in Washington is they had just redone their library, and there's a huge circulation desk in the middle of it. There's no moving it. You know, it costs a lot of money, and it takes up a lot of space. So how can they use that to their advantage? So that was a really interesting kind of larger concept sort of idea. And then the other one that I had the chance to attend was called Steam-Powered Circulation, and that was put on by Rebecca Camp and Angela Glacheski, and they are from the Sequoia Regional System, which is out of Cumming, if I'm not mistaken. And what they have started doing is they have taken to circulating different STEM equipment. So some of the stuff that we have here, like makey-makeys or sewing machines or things like that, they have basically packaged them into kits that go in what are ostensibly like courier bags or kits like you might put a story time in, and they circulate those to the general public under the same kind of rules. You know, they might put a little sheet in there that has some activities or some things in it, but they actually use the Georgia State Technology Grant to fund some of those things. And so they started with things like marble mazes and spirographs and little bits and some assistive technology. And it was all about their learning experience of, you know, would this be something that would take off? Is it something that people would use? Would they use it over time? And that sort of thing. And, you know, and then once they got them in the little kits, you know, the kits started falling apart. So they found that the best way to actually store them was to just put them in clear backpacks. And so they just hung them on a big tree, and especially in the children's area, and the kids would put on their backpack of their STEM supplies, and then they would go. And it was, you know, they were welcome to use it in the library if they wanted to, but it was really intended to go home and learn on their own. They saw a huge embrace of this from their homeschooling communities, but really from children and people of all ages. And so they've expanded it to more things kind of every year that they've gotten more money. And, you know, Angela has kind of moved up in their system. I think she's the assistant director there now. So Rebecca has kind of really taken on this project and made it her own. And but, you know, they really talked about, you know, you can start small and, you know, it's going to be a change for people, you know, circulating stuff. You know, you've got to get new cataloging procedures in place. You got to make sure your catalog supports, you know, really, you know, surfacing these sorts of things. But it really went very successfully for them, and they're very excited about expanding that program in the future. And, you know, and they mentioned there, and so for anybody out there listening, you know, if you want more information about that, both Jennifer and Angela are very open to people contacting them to get more information about those products. If anything, from both of these sessions, it was just, don't be scared. You know, try it out. It may not work exactly like you think, but you can always modify and adjust, and being scared is going to stop you from trying anything at all. It's a good conference. You know, I'm going to kind of plug it real fast. For the longest time, the Georgia Library Conference was called COMO, which was the Council of Media Organizations, and it's been recently rebranded, and that's something that the Georgia Library Association has worked on a lot in the last year. And so, but it's been, you know, it had a really positive feedback from people, and it's something that they're continuously looking for new ways to expand upon, to make things better. If there's something that you wanted from this conference that wasn't there, they're interested in seeing that. But they try to be very responsive. And so I'm involved with them. I'm on the executive board right now. And so if there's anything that people want to see in their conference, or, you know, really liked or really wants to make sure it continues, you know, or that could encourage you to go in the future, there's lots of avenues to get there. There's lots of avenues for participation and things like that. And it's an association that's very open to people contributing their voice.
Yeah, that's one thing that I wanted to mention. I was nervous going into it. And then once we started, actually, I was having a lot of fun. And we were, you know, just chatting, and they were responding well. And I definitely would do it again. So I just wanted to mention that if you get the opportunity or have an idea for a presentation that you want to submit for consideration, please do. It was a really great experience.
Yeah, and I think the system is very open to that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. When we've got, because you've got the support of your supervisors and stuff as well.
Oh, yeah, I meant submit to administration, yes, first for consideration, and then if they approve it, submit to you.
And just to kind of stick it in your ear, these program submissions usually go through in May. And so you've got a couple of months to kind of think on what you've done over the last year that you might want to put together a presentation around.
And certainly a local conference like GLA will have, it's obviously easier to fund something like that. It's not as much travel and stuff, so there's more likely to get your thing mm-hmm. approved for that. And, you know. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.